The first lesson, which is also the text for the sermon, from Daniel chapter 7, verses 9 and 10. As I looked, thrones were set in place, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was as white as snow. The hair of his head was white like wool. His throne was flame. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. When you think of Daniel, you might think mostly of the man in the lion's den. And if you were here last week or you were watching on your computer, hopefully you do remember that story from Daniel's life because we just heard it last week. It was Daniel stubbornly, in a good way, stubbornly continuing to pray to the Lord and facing death, being thrown into a lion's den, the Lord sending an angel to save Daniel from the lions. And that is the story from Daniel's life that most people remember. Most people associate that story with Daniel and with his book in the Bible. But, you know, there is a lot more to Daniel's life than one night staring down a pride of lions. In fact, Daniel's entire life was a big adventure. Like the rest of God's people in Judah, Daniel witnessed the wrath, the anger of God up close, because after nearly a millennium of rebelling against the Lord and mostly refusing to repent and turn from their wickedness, the Lord finally brought the hammer down on his people in Judah, Daniel and all the rest. The Lord sent an invading army from the kingdom of Babylon, and that army leveled the kingdom of Judah. And they uprooted Daniel and many of his countrymen, many of his fellow Jewish people, and they dragged them away from their homeland 1,000 miles across the desert into exile in Babylon. Now, Daniel actually had it pretty good there in exile in Babylon, because Daniel was so talented, the king put him to work in the royal court of Babylon. And Daniel was so gifted, so talented, that the king promoted him again and again and again until finally Daniel became the governor of an entire province of the Empire of Babylon. Now, as far as being an exile goes, that's about as good as it gets, right? That's about as good as you can have it while you are in exile. And Daniel did have it pretty good in Babylon. But the rest of God's people there in Babylon, the rest of the Jewish people, they did not have it so good. They were being oppressed by their captors, the Babylonians. Of course, the Jewish people, more than anything else, they just wanted to get out of there. They wanted to get out of Babylon and go back to their homeland of Judah. But they knew in order for that to happen, the Lord was going to have to bring down some kind of judgment, some kind of wrath on the Babylonians. And they just didn't see any way that this was going to happen, that the Lord was going to bring his judgment on the Babylonians and save them and take them back to their homeland. So the Jewish people were despondent. They were depressed while they were sitting there in exile in Babylon. They could no longer even muster the joy to sing God's praises. There's a psalm that talks about this. It says, "By the rivers of Babylon we sat and wept. How can we sing the songs of the Lord while in a foreign land?" God's people wanted to go home. They wanted the Lord to come and help them. And they wanted the Lord to bring down his wrath on their enemies, the Babylonians, but they just couldn't see how it was ever going to happen. So they just sort of sat there under the thumb of their captors, crying and weeping and whining. Now, Daniel, meanwhile, in the royal court, he was no stranger to visions and dreams. In fact, the Lord gave Daniel many visions and dreams during the years of exile in Babylon. And we heard the last part of one of Daniel's visions earlier in this hour of worship. And at the heart of this vision that the Lord gave to Daniel was a message of comfort, but not just for God's people, the Jewish people who were sitting in Babylon long ago. At the heart of this vision is also a message of comfort for all of God's people of all time. Because this vision teaches us that God gets the last say on the last day to erase his enemies and to save his saints. There's definitely a message that the Jewish people in Babylon needed to hear, because they thought the Lord's judgment was never going to come. They thought the Lord's help for them was never going to arrive. But this is also a message that God's people living in this world today need to take into our own hearts. Because we, the people of God today in this world, we are also strangers living in a strange land. We are exiles living in a world where we are surrounded by God's enemies. All over the world right now, as we live and breathe, religions that deny the triune God, that deny Jesus Christ as God's Son and the Savior, these religions are growing and spreading like wildfire. Governments are rising up. One of their goals is to snuff out Christ and his gospel. Atheists, commentators fill up internet channels and airwaves and blather about how ignorant and gullible Christians are. And here we are, sitting in this world, surrounded by God's enemies, and we are exiles in our own world. We are strangers in a strange land. And just like the Jewish people who were exiles in Babylon, sometimes it can seem to us like the Lord's judgment on his enemies and on our enemies is never going to come. And the Lord's help, his deliverance for us, is just never going to arrive. And we have a tendency also to fall into this line of thinking where we do a lot of complaining sometimes and a lot of whining. Oh, the Lord, he's forgotten us. He's never going to help us. He's never going to judge his enemies. Instead of proclaiming praises to the Lord, you know, his promises get pushed to the back of our minds. And you know, instead of lovingly warning God's enemies about the wrath that is coming their way, instead of being loving toward them and warning them about it, we might start to wonder if even maybe they're not onto something. Maybe God's enemies are just going to get away with this forever, and God is never going to come with his judgment against them or his help for us. So the vision that Daniel received long ago, this is for us, God's people who are seated in exile today. That God does get the last say on the last day. First, to erase his enemies. Now, the first part of this vision that Daniel had, this is the part of the vision that we actually did not hear earlier. In the first part of this vision, Daniel sees these four ugly, nasty, ferocious, wild beasts rise up. And these four beasts are a picture, an illustration of God's enemies. Enemies of God, the enemies of his people in this world. Daniel sees these four beasts rise up and lash out against the Lord. And then, right in the middle of those beasts, right in the middle of his enemies, the Lord sets up his courtroom and his judge's seat. Daniel says that the one who sits on the seat of this courtroom is the Ancient of Days. Only here, nowhere else in the Bible, is this name used for the Lord, the Ancient of Days. And it is used here to make this point. The Lord is eternal. He goes back. He goes way back before everything else and everyone else in his creation. He knows absolutely everything that everybody has ever thought, said, or done, including everything that his enemies have thought, said, or done against him. He knows it all. Daniel says this Ancient of Days has bright white hair and gleaming clothing. He is holy. He is absolutely perfect. And perfection is what the Ancient of Days will require from everybody that he judges. He is not going to pass any verdicts like this in his courtroom. Wow. You weren't perfect, but hey, you are only human, so we'll let you go. Or, well, okay, I guess you were kind of my enemy, but as far as enemies go, you were a pretty small time. You know, it wasn't so serious, so we'll let you off the hook. No, he's absolute righteousness, absolute perfection, and that's what he demands from everybody he judges. Daniel sees his seat with wheels on it. He is mobile. He's not stuck in one place like a human judge, but he can go all over his creation, even into the deepest and darkest corners of every human heart. And Daniel sees that this judge has wrath pent up, wrath that he is waiting to release, because before he even begins his judgment, the fire is already flowing out from his throne. And nobody in that courtroom can escape it. Thousands upon thousands attended him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and the books were opened. Yes, God is the Ancient of Days. He knows everything that has ever been said or done against him. He has a standard of holiness, and he does have wrath stored up against his enemies. And on the last day, Daniel says these enemies are going to be thrown into fire forever, erased from the view of God and erased from the view of his people who had to live with those enemies in this world. God gets the last say on the last day. He will erase his enemies. So that means, of course, it's a really good thing for you and me that we are not God's enemies, right? And we have absolutely nothing to worry about when we get into that courtroom on the last day, because you are the good church-going type people, right? Here you are. And we're the people who read our Bibles, and you are people who work hard, and you love your families, and you're law-abiding citizens and good Americans, so you got nothing to worry about me. Come on, I'm a pastor, so if you people got nothing to worry about, I'm going to be okay for sure. And we might like to think that we would be okay in God's courtroom if we can just point out these nice little facts about ourselves and about our lives. But what God tells us in Scripture is if we get into God's courtroom and we try to appeal to the record of our own lives, that is not going to help us. That is going to destroy us. Because if we point to our own lives, we are going to be pointing to the lives of people who, at least occasionally, allowed the pleasures and the worries of this world to crowd the Lord out of our hearts. We are going to be pointing to the records of people who at least once in a while lied and lusted and stolen, people who held grudges and hard feelings. In short, we would be pointing to the record of people who at least at times lived like enemies of God, who lived as though the end was never going to come. We might, well, that wasn't most of my life, though, right? Most of my life was good. Well, remember, this judge is the Ancient of Days. He knows everything that everybody has ever done, and he is total holiness, total righteousness. That is what he demands in his courtroom. And with that in mind, our situation seems hopeless. We are going to end up in the exact same place as God's enemies on the last day. And it's true, that's what we deserve. That's what we have coming to us from the righteous judge. But in his word, God also promises us this, that when he opens his books in his courtroom on the last day, when he opens to the page with your name on it and my name on it, he is not going to see the sinful record of our lives. All of the sin that we have ever committed, in our thoughts, our actions, and our words, all of that is going to be blotted out by the blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ. The blood that Jesus shed on the cross will cover every sin of yours and mine. And written over that sinful record of our lives will be the absolutely holy life that Jesus lived for our sake. The holiness that is ours through faith in him. The scripture teaches that when the Holy Spirit gives a person faith in Jesus, they get the credit for Jesus' holy life. God drops the gavel in his heavenly courtroom and says, I declare you innocent. I declare you not guilty of all sin in my Son. That is the record that God will see for you and me on the last day. He gets the last say to save his people, to save all who trust in Christ, all of his saints. Now, I do wonder what the Jewish people in Babylon thought when they heard, when Daniel told them about this vision. I wonder what they were thinking, because, you know, really those Jewish people, they were looking for a very narrow, specific kind of judgment, right? They were really just looking for God to judge and punish the Babylonians. And they were really looking for just a very specific kind of deliverance, right? A deliverance just for them. And a deliverance just to take them back to their little homeland, this little strip of real estate next to the Mediterranean Sea. And instead, God gives a vision to Daniel that is for all of his enemies, judgment on all of his enemies of all time, and deliverance for all of his people, all of his saints, and not just to some little piece of land on the Mediterranean, but to an eternal kingdom. This is the vision for us and for all of God's people to hold in our hearts as we wait for that day. Amen.